Right, good morning everyone. Great to be here. You all excited about the weekend? Oh, good stuff, man. So I'm going to try and deliver to the promise that I will put on a different accent this morning. So if anybody wants to ridicule me now because I'm talking about the will of God and or fulfillment of the word, and you go ahead and do that right now so we can get it over with. And well, it's great to be here. It's wonderful to be here. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And we're going to do a look at Psalm 119. The book of Psalm 119 this morning. And the job that I've been given, the assignment I've been given, is the promise of preservation. The promise of preservation. And God puts His integrity on the line when He makes a promise. And the fact is, you know, and His integrity is His holiness He puts on line when He makes a promise. And we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at the fact that God is not a man that He should lie. God cannot lie. And if He makes a promise and a promise doesn't come true, it makes Him a liar. And God is not a liar. The fact is that you and I can stand this morning right here with a Bible that we can believe right here, knowing that this is pure and true and I can believe it by faith. If I cannot believe it by faith, we are just a bunch of fools and idiots coming together on the weekend and spending time together here. I mean, what a waste of time, amen. I could have been down at the beach in Florida this weekend, you know. And what if He did not fulfill His promise of eternal life? I mean, I believe that He does. And He is. And I believe I am secure in Christ. I believe that I have believed the gospel that God has given me, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And when I believe and receive that truth of God's word, I get saved and I get placed in Christ and sealed unto the day of redemption. And I'm waiting for my eternal destiny in heaven. I believe that. Because I have a book that I can believe. And we're going to talk about that. That's what we're talking about this weekend. By faith, you and I can expect Him to do what He said He would do. Scripture is very clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you guys have been there when Noah built the ark? I wasn't there. Maybe you were. No, you weren't. Okay. Psalm 119, let's just go read them. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. They're not just faithful, they are very faithful. You guys should know the verses. Psalm 119, verse 137. Let's go again.
We all feel the touch. Just being good Bereans.
Oh, good. Psalm 119, verse 137. You know, yeah, just go ahead and just remind me because I forget stuff. All right, Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and what? Very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure. Not just pure. It is very pure. I am very excited this morning. You know, not just excited, I am very excited. And I hope all of you are very excited. Because God's word is very true. Eh? Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Oh, and how we love God's word. The only reason you and I could love God's word, because if we just love it because we don't know if it's true or not. I mean, how can you love something if you don't know it's true or not? If my wife tells me she loves me, but I'm not sure if she's truthful or not, you know, how can I love it? The fact that she loves me. But I know she loves me unconditionally. I know she loves me complete. You do, eh? I know that, and so I love it. Because I know it's sincere, and I know it's true, and I know it's pure. And that's why the psalmist writer says, thy servant loveth it. Because it's very pure. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And God's righteousness is not determined on a term. It is everlasting. We're talking about the righteousness of God. Who's the one that promised to keep His word pure? God. And so His righteousness is online here. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Thy righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that we can consider a few verses this morning. We consider this very important subject of your word that you have given by inspiration, but not just given by inspiration, but you've promised also to preserve for us, not just for a short term or a short period, but for eternity. And for eternal, thy word is settled in heaven. We thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, that we are dealing with you, God our Father, being a holy, righteous God. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you for your word. Amen. So when you come to the scriptures, when you and I come to the scriptures and we want to deal with the promise of preservation, God expects you and I, when we come to the scriptures, to come to the scriptures with an attitude of faith. We've made a decision. We've made, you know, with the viewpoint is our faith that He expects. Okay, we've learned this weekend, and even last night, and Brian did an excellent job. Okay, Richard did a great job. Not that there's a difference between excellent and great, but okay, Brian. I mean, all right, they did great jobs last night. And the thing is, you know, what we've seen is so far, what we're going to see through this weekend is that the Bible is validated by extra biblical evidence. There is evidence outside that proves the Bible. But we're not going to go chase all those evidences and try and fit. We come to the scripture and believe it's the word of God. Okay? We believe it by faith that it is God's word and it's without error. Now, if there's so many Bibles out there, which one is it? And we have some evidence that has been given to us, even like with Matt this morning with the text line. Only one text line is the majority of texts, and they all agree. And the scriptures that you and I have and hold dear to us, the King James Bible, is the only Bible that comes from that. Everything else comes from what is corrupted. So by faith I believe that this majority of texts and this Bible I have, that God has not just given my inspiration, but He's also preserved, and that's now translated into my language from a text that I believe is uncorrupted. I by faith believe it. Right? So it's validated extra biblically. We can do that. It's proved scientific science prove it. You know, before even people knew the world was round, they thought it was flat. Who said the world is round? The scriptures tells us that. That's not my job to go into all that. Richard touched on those last night. God's word is established as truth. It is truth. It's not an error. It's not a lie. Once again, if you believe God's word is a lie, what are you doing here? Bunch of idiots. If you believe it's a lie. Prophetically, it's accurate. Everybody goes on about Nostradamus. He wasn't accurate. He got some few things right. The scripture is not proven wrong in any of fulfillments of prophecy. It's 100% accurate. Numerically, like Richard did last night, I should throw a piece of chalk like that too, you know. It fits. And it's wonderful, because you know what? When you and I, when we take the issue of faith when it comes to the Word of God, what you and I have to remember, and what you and I have to not never, ever, ever forget, is when we're dealing with the Word of God, we are dealing with God Himself. We're not dealing with some theological group. We're not dealing with some seminary. We're not dealing with some higher form of education and a group of people that we just ascribe to. We're dealing with a living, written word that God has given by inspiration, not just given, but also preserved. And when we deal with it, we're dealing with the living God Himself. Amen. And we have to remember that. In the very introduction verse in the scriptures, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, what's the next word? God created the heaven and the earth. Who created it? God. Now, before the beginning, who was there? God, because He eternally existed. So you come with that, with the issue, the mindset of faith coming to the scripture in the beginning, God, okay, there's God. And if He was before all this, what we know, what was created, wow, He must be an almighty God. He must be an awesome God, a great God, a holy God. Because He existed before the beginning. So you come, and the Bible tells us who we're dealing with. And the Bible, go with me to Psalms, the book of Psalms again. And by the way, we're going to go to Psalms, and it's just fascinating how the book of Psalms, in especially chapter 119, deals with the truth of God's Word and the pureness of it and all this information in there. Take a time sometime and just read through all those verses in the Psalm 119. It is fascinating. In, what did I say? Psalm 119. Not like some people say 190. I'm not going to mention names. Brian. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, now it's in the beginning, God says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." So, since when is God's word true? Right from the beginning. When was the beginning? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God's word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments, judgments endureth forever. The Bible is straight out, right out, says, you know, His word is truth. His word is going to endure forever. We're dealing with an almighty God. Who is this God that we're dealing with? I mean, He's created everything. So who is this God that we're dealing with? Well, I can tell you what the scripture says about this God. This God is not a man like you and I. He's God. So I'm immediately dealing with something far more and far more exceedingly superior than what we think of. We're dealing with God. Okay? Go with me to the book of Numbers. Chapter 23. Now you should go take the time. We all should take the time and go through this piece here with Balaam and Balak, king of Moab, wanting to curse his enemies. Balaam to curse his enemies, which is Israel, Jacob. God says, "Nah, you're not going to do that." God gives Balaam this word to give to Balak, and says, and verse 18 says, verse 18 of Numbers 23. Did I say verse 18? Nope. And he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" What is he saying to Balak? He says, "You got to take note here, buddy. You're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with God, and God cannot what? Lie. And if God cannot lie, and God says, I'm going to give my word, my inspiration, and I will also preserve it. And if God cannot lie, guess what? It's going to be that way. And He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Don't reason with what's going on here with God as like a man. You can't be in that same... You have to look at Him as far more superior than that. He's not a man. He cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie because of His holiness. Now, how many of you here this morning have never told a lie? Yeah. God is not a man that He should lie. Go with me. Go with me to the book of Titus. Paul writes to Titus, verse 1 and 2. I'm just going to give you these verses to take down. Not going to spend too much time in them. But in Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Titus 1, verse 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If God has promised me eternal life, can I have confidence and faith that I can have eternal life? Now, if Brian Ross tells me, Des, you can have eternal life based on what I'm going to give you, can I believe him? No, definitely not. Who wants to believe Brian Ross anyway, you know? He knows I'm just ragging on him. You give him a hard time, you know? I get mine. But God promised eternal life. And God says His words, in the Proverbs 30 verse 5, His word is pure forever. It's pure. God's word is pure. Every word of God is pure. Now, if I'm thinking about this now, if God says every word is pure and God cannot lie, and it's impossible for Him to lie, and He promised and He says it's pure, and we have all these Bibles with all these various things, and like Matt said this morning, and they all say different things, we have an issue. We have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Houston got a problem. Right? They're not all the same. They're different. So where do we have to identify, and that's what we're doing this weekend, just to show, helping for us to identify where that pure word is. And you and I believe that it's in the King James Bible. I don't doubt it in my mind. Because if I doubt that God's word is pure, and I have to correct it all the time according to the originals, which doesn't exist, guess what you and I have not? Can you have faith if it is not purity? Can you have a final authority if there's no purity? And 100% accuracy? You can't. Because if you're going to stand up and take a Bible and start reading and says, oh, well, you know, the originals didn't say this, we should actually alter this. Does that, what you read, become your final authority, or is what I say or what I quote become the final authority? And people has the audacity to stand up and correct the scriptures which God said is pure, that God says He will keep pure forever and He will preserve it. And they have the audacity to say, well, that doesn't say there. And then some of the fools sitting in the pew, and guess what? I was one of them at one time. And I take my pen and says, you know, let me just make a note of that and just scratch out that. I'm not alone in this. Don't make like you so holy and special. I know. You know, I came here the first time when I learned about preservation. Because I understood inspiration. I understood revelation. I understood illumination to a degree. And I understand, you know, inspiration. And I came here in 1996 verse and spent time with Pastor Richard for two and a half months, riding around with him, getting fat. You know, he's feeding me M&Ms and stuff all the time. But learning in that 2.5 months the importance of having a Bible that is my final authority, and that I can have 100% confidence that it is pure, because God promised that it will endure forever. And I understood that there is a doctrine that God has put in place in the purity of His Word that is inspired that will keep it pure. And that, wow! And I was so excited to wanting to tell people about this that I've just learned. And I remember coming back to South Africa and arriving the very first night, having a meeting with the preacher and the senior preacher there, and sitting down and says, "Oh man, you know, I want to tell you about this. I mean, I use the King James and we use the King James in the church, but I never knew and understood this issue that God is going to preserve it and keep it pure like He said He's going to do it." And the guy says, "Oh no, don't be taken up by that stuff, you know. It's got errors in it." What? You don't believe that? Okay. God says, God is not a man that He should lie. And God promises that He's going to keep His word pure. James chapter 1 verse 17. Let's go through some verses here quickly. James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift, and chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does it tell me about God? He doesn't change. There's no variableness with Him. Neither shadow of turning. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 6. I'll take you some verses that you can go ponder upon and go think about and meditate and work through. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What is impossible for God? It's impossible for God to lie. Now, if God says His word is pure, and we've established that God is a holy God, and He says, and we've read at least three verses now to say that it's impossible for Him to lie, do you need more evidence than that? I mean, I could close my case. God's promise He's going to preserve His word, close the book, and walk off and sit down there. Because, I mean, that's evidence. He's going to keep it pure. And because it's impossible for Him to lie. Look at verse 13 there. Go back there quickly. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by who? Himself. Who's Himself? God. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiply thee, and multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God is an angel, and he swear, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep my word, and I will see it through. And what did Abraham did? Oh God, I don't know if I can believe you. No, he believed God, and was counted to him for righteousness. Because who promised it? And by whose name? God Almighty, and by His holy name. Go with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 89. The book of Psalm chapter 89, let's go verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Who says that?
God.
It says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. When I said it, I'm not going to go change it. I establish it. And we know that what is coming out of his lips is pure. Verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Now, if God was a liar, then that's a lie. You get that? If God is a liar, because what did God put? If God fails in this promise of once I've sworn by my holiness is God, that I will not lie unto David. If God fails in this, then God is a liar. Does he fail or will he fail? No, he never will fail because he is holy. He's God. He's righteous. One single oath. Once have I sworn by my holiness. Do you need more than that? Well, God, just come back. Let's just do it again. And he says, I do it once. By my holiness. I put my integrity on line here. I put my faithfulness on line here, says God. Who are we to question him? Who are we to question him? He said it, and he's going to fulfill it. Go back with me to Psalm 119. We've just read those verses. Verse 138 says, in 119, thy testimonies thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Verse 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And the law is the truth. What God has promised, because he's righteous, and his righteousness is going to last, is lasting for how long? Forever, is everlasting. That righteousness existed before time, and his righteousness will exist after time. It exists forever. It is everlasting. And it's going to endure forever. And so if God said it, and God promised something, and he puts his integrity on line, and he's put his holiness on line, and he swears by his holiness that I'm going to do this. We can't question it. We have to believe it. Now, you have a choice to believe it or not. You can join the crowd who says, well, we'll have to fix it. I choose to believe that God says, I'm going to preserve it. I'm going to keep it pure. And I believe that even in my language, in English, that I can read it pure. Because it comes from the right text. That he ensured by the doctrine that he will keep pure. God is not a man that he should lie. He's going to fulfill his promises. Romans chapter 15. Quickly. I personally think I've got too much information. But that's a common mistake we all make. And verse 8 says, in Romans 15 verse 8 says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister. By the way, your minority text and the corrupted text says, is. Okay, so which one are you going to believe? Romans 15 verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father. The fathers. What did God promise? A Messiah. Christ. To who? Nation of Israel. Did he fulfill that? Did he give it? Yes. He's fulfilling what he's promised to do. He's not a liar. He He's going to see it through. Go with me to what Paul says to the in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, verse 19, chapter 1, verse 9, and chapter 1, verse 19, and 2 Corinthians. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Sophanas and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. And all the promises of God in him, that's in Christ, are yea. And in him, amen. What does that word yea means? Yes, it's truth. And amen, wow, it's trustworthy. It's completely 100% firm, settled, trustworthy. So be it. Why? Because God promised it. God is not in the yea and nay business. He's not a yea and nay man, you know, like some of us, depending who we're with. Oh, yeah. God's not in that business. Because why? Because God's righteous. And His righteousness lasts forever. And God is holy. And His word that He gives is yea. Yes. It is truth. It's settled. Now what did He say about His word? Let's go see some verses here this morning. About preserving His word, the promise requires fulfillment. We've seen that, and He's fulfilling it. Fulfilling it. Go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 12. The obvious fact is that you and I can believe that every word of God is pure and complete, trustworthy, and without error. Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's given by God, okay? All Scripture comes from God. Now, if God inspires every word in purity, only to allow some errors now to start creeping in, it will make me think, oh, God can't fulfill what He says He's going to do. In inspiration. He's inspiring the word that says, I will keep it pure. I will preserve it. Right? Now, if it doesn't keep pure, and it does get corrupted completely, that there is no evidence at all of a 100% trustworthy Bible, then I submit to you this morning, then God is a liar. Amen. But you and I know He's not a liar. Amen. Because He's, by inspiration, promised that He will keep it pure. And He will put the things in place. And we will hear later on today about how He's going to do that. And through what He's going to do it. The multiplicity of copies and the agents that He's going to use to do that. Verse chapter 12 and verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Now that's a... Try and explain that. You take silver and you put it in a furnace of earth. You heat it up to whatever degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not even going to try and figure that one out. I'll leave it to some of the guys that know that type of stuff. Maybe the jewelers or whatever. But I just guess what you do is when you take that silver in a furnace of earth and you heat it up. What's going to burn up? The impurities. What's the only thing that's going to stay? The pure silver will stay. So pure is God's word. As somebody that takes silver and purifies it seven times. Now, verse 7 says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Who's He going to preserve? What is He going to preserve?
Words.
His words. His words will he preserve. Now if his word says he's going to take the people and preserve them for everlasting, what declares he's going to preserve them for everlasting? His pure words. So he's going to take care that his word is going to be preserved from this generation for a couple of generations. No? No, from this generation forever. And I'm asking you, and I'm submitting to you and I ask you this morning, how long's forever? Miss Carol?
It never ends.
Never ends. It's everlasting. It's never going to stop. It's not everlasting, it's everlasting, okay? It's never going to stop. It's going to endure forever. There is no end to it. You and I say, oh man, this is taking forever. I can see your faces. That's okay. I'm just a man. But does it take forever? No, it'll be over in another 45 minutes. But God says, thou shalt keep them. Who's going to keep them? God's going to keep them. And who's God? Is he a man? If I say, hey brother, keep this for me forever. Guess what? No chance. No chance. I can't even keep it forever. And I'm younger than most of you guys. No, I'm just... Not even Charlie can keep it forever. He can keep it for another 70 years maybe. 60 years. Probably not. But God's going to keep it forever. Because only God can keep it forever. So, you know what makes me excited? I come to this book and say, you know, God makes some promises. He is God. He's holy. And he's put his integrity online and his holiness online. He's promised, I'm going to do this. And I just have to sit and rest back and say, God, you're going to do it. And I can have full confidence in it.
What peace.
Yes. What peace. And people say, you're crazy to believe that. The peace that passeth all understanding. The natural man cannot receive the things of God, neither can they know it. And there's believers that's acting like natural men. Because they're carnal and they don't understand the issue that God says, I am going to keep my word pure. And they have the audacity to stand up and put up a Bible and start reading and says, well, this is not really right. They don't believe it. They're carnal when you do that. I was carnal at one time. Not any one of you, just me. But God said, I will keep them from this generation forever. I got to rest in what God says. Believe it by faith. And when I believe that, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, that effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now guess what? Now when I believe this doctrine, it works in me. And it brings us together here, and we have confidence and faith 100% in a Bible that is truth. And we don't in the business of trying to correct what God says He's going to keep pure. Because we know how to identify His Word. Because He's given us the pure words by inspiration that tells us how to identify us. And He's preserved those pure words that He's given by to identify how we can identify it. This is the supernatural working of God. I believe in miracles.
Amen.
But not like you think I believe in miracles. I believe in a miraculous, wonderful, supernatural work. Present going on today. Through the Spirit of God and the Word of God that's alive in our lives. Because the natural man cannot think of it. It's not natural if you believe something like that. Natural man says, I got to doubt that. But a spiritual man says, no, God said, I believe it. Because God's not a man, He should lie. You get that? The same words that God has inspired is the same words that He's going to keep and preserve. The same words he's inspired is the very same words that he's promised to preserve. He said it. I believe it. He's doing the work. That settles it. And when I get to that point of faith, I'm pleasing him now. And he's working in and through me. And I'm not saying, you know, God, what can I do to keep your word pure? No, no, no. God, I don't have to do anything to keep your word pure. You told me you're going to keep it pure, and you're going to work in and through me. So I'm not in the performance business. I'm not in the performance business here to do stuff that will say, ooh, good for you. He says, I've supplied you with everything that you would need, and I'm going to let what I've given you to work in you effectually, and I'll do the work. Sit down and rest and let me do it. I'll take care of it. Now, that is irrational with Christianity. That makes sense to religion. But it makes sense when it comes to the truth of God's word. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. For how long is God's word settled? If I say, okay, this settles this matter. Is there an open, you know, when I say to my son, who's graduated now, and you know, he's starting to care for his own life and stuff. But when I say to him, listen, this settles this matter now. Do I mean, okay, this is open for some more communication about this? Well, it's settled. That's, you know, my mind, this is settled. Don't even, excuse me, are you talking back to me? God says, forever thy word is settled. Who settled it? God. Because he could, and because he's God. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Psalm 119, verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them for a period. Is that what it says? No, that thou hast founded them forever. He says, concerning thy testimonies, concerning what you say, concerning what you revealed, concerning what you've testified as being true and right. David says, he understands that it's settled and founded in heaven and it will endure forever. And every promise and every testimony God gives is concerning what he's purposes and what he's doing in regard to mankind, you and I, and his purpose for heaven. And we understand now through the Apostle Paul for his purpose for heaven, for earth. Did I say heaven twice? Sorry. Through the nation of Israel, his purpose for the earth, and through us, the body of Christ today, his purpose for heaven. He says, every promise and testimony. You know, when he says, interesting there in 152, is concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old. What is he saying, I have known of old? What does that mean, I have known of old? It's no new thing to me. It's a settled thing for me, right there. But what you say you're going to do, and it's righteous and it's pure and it's going to set forever, I know it of old. I know it concerning, in the beginning thy word was pure from the beginning. In the beginning you did what you do. I've known it from back there. The testimonies I have concerning what you're going to do, you're going to do. It's no new news to me that you're going to do, God. Should be no news to us. No new news to us that God's going to do. Because that's why we're here this morning, because we're learning about what he said he's going to do. And we know that. He's founded it forever. Such conviction as David says here I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. We'll do much to keep our souls steady and firm, our walk, because we're going to trust and believe what God says. You know, we're not here playing, oh, we're a nice little grace group, and you know, we've got the King James Bible. This is not play. This is not a social club. This is the church of the living God. We're members in particular of this church of the living God. And we have this relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where we can say, Abba, Father. The very one that says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The very one that says, I swear by my holiness to keep it pure forever. Can you see what I'm trying to say is, this is not play stuff anymore. This is real. I'm going to talk to you about tomorrow being the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's no good saying, oh, we believe this is pure and this is true, and what do we do about it? It lies in our mantel place. It sits in our corner in the house. Oh, it's God's pure word. And it works effectually in them that believeth. But I'm not going to take it to anybody because, you know, I just don't want to suffer the ridicule of what they're going to tell, say I'm stupid or something like that. Do you believe it or don't you believe it? God says, I'll keep it pure forever. And I see Brother Ed's walking up here. That means, you know, it's my cue for moving on. Write this down. I'm going to finish up here. I'm not going to go to all these verses, but write this down. Isaiah 29:18, Isaiah 38. Go read it. Isaiah 29:18, Isaiah 30 verse 8. It's going to come in the future that God is putting it in a book forever so that the nation of Israel can come back and read this. This was your attitude you had towards me, and this is my faithfulness I had towards you. My long suffering with you. But God puts in a book way back there so in the future, in the millennium, they can go back and read this. Oh, that's where we were. Look at what our faithful God did for us. To remind them. But you go read that. We're not going to go through that this morning. God has magnified His Word above His name. Psalm 138 verse 1 and 2. Thou hast magnified Thy Word. God, You've made Your Word great. You've taken Your Word and equaled Your Word to Yourself. We know You've created the heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth. But Your Word says, heaven and earth shall pass away. But Your Word will endure forever. You've magnified Your Word above Your name. We look at the stars. He says, you walk out here. Matt spoke about more stopping here yesterday. You look at it. Man, oh, it's a piece of heaven. And you look at the rolling hills, which we don't have in Florida. That's flat. It's like an island sitting in the middle of nowhere, you know. And it's flat. And I'm busy building a house. And you dig 2 feet down and you hit water. I promise you. I had to raise my house 3.5 feet to get off the water. Okay. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, and you look at the rolling hills. And you look at all these beautiful trees. You say, oh, there must be a God. But one day those trees won't be there anymore. The hills will be gone. What will still stand? His Word. He's magnified His Word above His name. You say there must be a God. Well, when that stuff is not there, what are you going to say? But what will stand forever? His Word. His Word is a living Word. We're going to read about this week, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later. If you don't have faith, and I'm going to close off here, but if you don't have faith in what God's Word says is His Word. God's Word says Jesus Christ is going to die. He's going to be buried. And the third day He's going to be raised. Right? According to the Scriptures. If He's never risen, never raised from the dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you go read there from verse 13 to about 19. Our faith is vain. We have nothing. And the satanic policy of evil is to head you to a point where you don't believe you have the pure Word of God. To doubt. That's what he wants you to do. God never fulfilled his promise of eternal life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if God's word is not pure, we can't have faith. And if I don't have faith, if I don't have the word, I can't have faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I have the word of God pure, I can have faith. And if I have faith, I have hope of eternal life. But if that's not so, then I don't have hope of eternal life. The fact is, we have hope of eternal life. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. He's promised. He's put his integrity on line, and he's put his holiness on line. I swear by an oath. I promise. This is what I will do. I put my name on the line here. I put my holiness on line here. That I will see this through and fulfill this. What more do we want? What more do we want? We dare not want anything more than what God has promised and already settled. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your all-sufficient grace. We thank you for your mighty working in our lives. We thank you for your word that effectually worketh in us that believes. We thank you for a living word. We thank you for your promises and the fulfillment of that promises. And we praise you for that in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.